If you understand game management and you understand how this part of the game is so important, you would call a run. What does Andy do? He calls a pass. Incomplete, stop the clock. Second and 10, what does he do again? No interest in keeping the clock going, right? Calls another pass. Gets bailed out. Pass interference. Now we can regroup ourselves. We can now pay attention to the clock management of the game, and we can start to get back into focus. Not Andy. No, no, no. You know, we're going to go eat at the buffet line. We're going to go through the line right away, right? How many times have I said, don't be the fat guy at the buffet line and eat fast, right? How many times have I said that?
That's my favorite Lombardi line right there.
No, no, no.
Don't be the fat guy in the buffet. It's my best Lombardi line.
Hey, we saw it last night. I don't know if anybody stayed awake for it last night.
I did,
Mike.
Okay. Carolina has the ball first and 10 at the 12, a minute 40 to go in the game, and they call a pass. Incomplete. Now Tampa has four timeouts. They call another pass. Tampa gains a fifth timeout. Then they call a slant, and now the clock has taken 14 seconds off. And they wonder why they lose.
Dumb. And then they call back-to-back timeouts when they didn't have the right to do it. They get a fourth and a half a yard, and they don't run. They don't have Cam Newton just lean over the line of scrimmage, right? They don't even do that. Unbelievable.
I mean, like, look, it's unbelievable. And, you know, it's fascinating how the teams don't understand the clock management of your clock is working. You have two opponents in that situation. You got the clock and the team you're playing, and naturally, but we never heard a word about it on television last night. It was okay to throw incompletions in that situation.
That was a bad, right? It was a bad game anyway, Mike. Mike Lombardi joins us back for another season. He's had a big off season. Gridiron Genius goes to paperback this week. He's got a TV show that's viewed here on Nesson in the marketplace.
Big
he's
time.
On radio.com. And of course, the biggest thing in his life is coming on OMF every year.
Well, have you realized that
the biggest thing?
You see how much exposure he gets now since he's been hanging out with us?
You think it's us that led him to bigger and better
things? Before it was just TED Talks, and now it's like he's on every platform.
All right, so you know everything that's been going on here. By the way, it's things are jumping back here, Mike. I can tell you this is yeah, this is interesting stuff. So you tell us, being around Bill Belichick, because a lot of people outside of the organization across the country, national TV, hear them all say, what is Belichick doing? How could he bring in a guy like this? Why did Bill Belichick bring in a guy like this?
Well, you know, he brought in Antonio Brown because if you go back to that game in 15, remember he had 11 targets. He was double them near every play, still had 9 catches, 133 yards. And we were dominating the game. I think we won 28-21. And Brown was by far the best player. And so, obviously, the talent. I think the signing of Brown before the Chargers came out, I don't think Oakland or do I think the Patriots knew about the civil suit that was coming. So I think they did that without knowing that. But I think Bill's not afraid to coach talent. I think that's the bottom line. And what people don't seem to understand is his ability, his stature, the 6 trophies, Brady's ability, Brady's stature, that gives them a tremendous advantage over the competition because Antonio Brown's not coming to the sideline yelling at Bill to get him the ball. Antonio Brown's not going in the huddle to tell Brady to throw him the damn ball. Those two things are not happening. And so he just joined the Navy SEALs program, and he's a private in the SEALs, and that's how things operate in Foxborough.
You know, that seems to be the remaining question, and I don't know if it's really that big of a deal, but when Rosenhaus said that they knew that this was kind of coming, right? He and Antonio knew that something was coming. When Bill goes to acquire this guy, there isn't that conversation. Like, I know what's happening. Is there anything else that I should know of? And Rosenhaus, given his relationship in the league, and Bill Belichick, he keeps that from him? He doesn't tell him, in your opinion?
You know, in my opinion, I think what you typically do on a player is you call the league office before you do that. And you say, okay, give me where this player is. The NFL has a security office, so you kind of know what's going on. That call usually is made, and if they don't have – and the civil suit's not involved in that. And so I don't think they really knew, and I think it was some form of – I think Rosenhaus and Brown's attorney knew something was coming because as soon as the complaint was filed, they filed a counter. They filed a statement to offset everything rather quickly. It didn't take them long to put that out.
So, Mike, do you think the Pats should suit Antonio Brown up to play on Sunday?
Well, I think as Bill has said today, whatever's in the best interest of the team. I don't know the level of where he is in terms of what he's learned, I think that in terms of the civil suit, I think the league office is going to handle that. I don't think that's.
I know, but would you? Up. I'm trying to get. You know, nobody wants to answer this question. I don't say it's either way. You would play at for everything you know personally right now. Would you? And then the criticism that comes and that is associated with this type of situation.
It's would you play him? Say. I mean. What's hard to say?
Well, what's the back?
You know all the facts.
No, I don't. But I'm making a decision based on what I know. Like either you're afraid of the backlash or you're not.
Well, I think you're making a decision based on not having all the facts, and you can get in a lot of trouble with that.
Okay, but you're a wait and see guy.
I would be a wait and see guy. I mean, because I think look. It's called due process. This country was founded on it. And I'm not saying, look, don't let me be the first. I'm not because I've been very critical of Antonio Brown during his stay in Oakland. If you listen to my podcast, GM Shuffle, I've been very critical. But I also know how Bill handles these situations, and I know that Bill has a unique ability to basically get players to understand what's expected of them. And he has no problem confronting players and telling them the truth. I think that's what happened in Oakland.
Okay, so I know you don't have all the answers, and none of us do. Really, the only two people that know what happened. That's Brittany Taylor, and that's Antonio Brown. But you know, you sit here and you watch all these different shows, and everybody expects Bill to say this, and they want the league to do that. And I just think it is the guy's hasn't been charged criminally. It's a civil suit. So do you think that players in the NFL? That have a civil suit pending should be held out regardless of what the charge is or what the accusation is, or should the league take a wait and see approach and then make a decision based on new information as they go?
I would take the wait and see approach. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with taking the wait and see approach, because if you take any other approach, you're saying the guy's guilty, and I don't think that's fair. You know, I think Brown says he's going to file a countersuit. Look, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the details of this case, so you're dealing with a lot less information than most people are. But I would say if he wasn't formally charged in a police, this is a civil complaint between him and the woman. I don't have all the details. It's a serious complaint. I'm not dismissing that whatsoever, but everybody has the right to due process.
Yeah, but I think it's as simple as that, Mike, is that it's a civil case. And why not wait? And the problem with him is he sounds like a scumbag. And it sounds like you're looking at his past. If this were Andrew Luck, people would be very defensive. They would say, oh, no, you know, he's brave. They would look at it much differently. And so his past reputation is forcing people right now to think the worst. But the league's got to wait. If I'm the Players Association and you put him on that exempt list right now on a civil suit when it's never happened before, I'd be all over the league.
I think there's certainly that consideration, too. I think, you know, everything has to be measured carefully before you start to take away a guy's profession from him where he can play on the field. But you're completely right. Look, his past behavior brought him to the spotlight. His past behavior, whether it's the hot air balloon, whether it's the foot, whether it's the helmet, whatever it was, whether it's the language that he used when he was talking to Mayock, whatever that was, that brought him to the spotlight.
Mike, I understand the whole due process thing. My only thing is that this league has been burned in the past by not looking into accusations properly, in my opinion, not doing due diligence, waiting for other information only to get, you know, whether it was Kareem Hunt, nobody looked into that or whatever it might be. To me, if they're going to meet with these two individuals next week, do what you can to gather as much information as you can so you don't get burned again. And if it was me, I would have done that. I would have taken him off the field this week. I would have interviewed both these people. Maybe I come to a conclusion at that point that, you know what, I'm going to play the guy the next week, week three. But the league gets in trouble all the time with this.
Yeah, look, if they waited, I mean, let's go back to Tyreek Hill, college, three schools, right?
Yeah.
Thrown out of Oklahoma State, enters the National Football League under no punishment. He has the Kansas City police are investigating child welfare was there. They waited on that. I think it's hard to say if you're going to wait on that on a civil complaint. I think they have to wait. I'm not absolving anybody from anything, but I think there has to be some form of structure, some form of procedure to go through that you have to understand.
You know, the other thing for me, Mike, is, listening to Bill do his press conferences, I feel like nobody does it better. And when it comes to these tough situations, yet people still demand or expect more information from him. where, and some coaches, you know, do it. They end up turning themselves into a pretzel, and they end up being, you know, putting themselves in a terrible situation. How do you think he handled the first press conference when he had the first barrage of questions?
Well, I think, look, he did exactly what he tells his players to do. That's the one thing about Belichick. There's a sign when you walk in that building that says, do your job. Speak for yourself. Be attentive. Put the team first. He's never going to speak for Antonio Brown or Drew Rosenhaus. He's told his team to speak for themselves. When they asked Rex Burkhead about the situation, he said, I'm not at liberty to talk about it because that's one of the pillars of the Patriot way. So I think every time somebody tries to get Bill to ask Bill a question and try to get inside a meeting that Bill might have had with a player, with an agent, one thing I've known about Bill, and I've known him since 1991, whatever conversation he has behind closed doors with somebody, unless you're involved in that, you're never going to know. He's going to keep it secret between him and that person, and that's how he builds his reputation with the people he deals with.
All right, Mike, one more, and it's about the game. We haven't talked about the game.
Oh, my God, the game. There is a game, right?
Yeah, they're 19-point favorites on the road. On the road.
At a place that's that we haven't played well. I mean, let's be
correct.
Real candid here.
Lost five of the last six, and it dates back well beyond that, as you know. We talked about this with Bill on Monday, but, you know, Bill always gives that answer. Well, you know, we're just have to be really concerned, and they're a good football team. They're not a good football team right now. He's not going to say it. He's not going to destroy Brian Flores. Is there any shot that Miami can even stay in this game?
Look, it's going to require turnovers. It's going to require Miami to slow the game down. I mean, look, Miami played a poor game last week. They got involved. I think they miscalculated Lamar Jackson's ability to make plays down the field. I think they miscalculated Hollywood Brown, and they got caught. The worst thing you want to do is give up long touchdowns. I mean, make teams drive the game down there. I think they'll play this game where they demand that the Patriots try to run the football a little bit, because by doing that, you can keep the score into the 20s. Because you're not going to beat the Patriots if you get in the track meet, especially where they are offensively. And it's going to be hard for them to move the ball on the Patriots' defensive front. Look, the one thing about Belichick that you have to understand, when he sees an offensive line that's not very good, he's never going to let them off the hook. He's going to rush five guys to make every one of those five offensive linemen block somebody. I'm not telling you anything revolutionary, because Brian Flores has been in every meeting and heard every speech. So he knows what's coming, and I think they've got to prepare themselves for what's coming, because this is by far, as I have been a Patriot, a watcher, fan, employee, this is by far the best defense that they've had. The 2016 defense with Akeem Hunt and Alan Branch and Chandler Jones and Jamie Conn, that was a damn good front. The back end wasn't as good. This is a complete defense.
Mike Lombardi's book, Gridiron Genius, is out in paperback. He's got a TV show, radio.com, as well. He's a media mogul, or a media whore, as some people would say. But He's got lots of gigs.
Right. Look, when is they call authors media whore? That's so unfair. I mean, is Robert Carroll a media? That's so unfair.
Hey, everybody has to eat, Mike, right? Everybody's got to eat.
I love it.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks,
have a good
guys.
One. Bye-bye. See you later.